Hello out there, KKFI listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of the 10th Voice here on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Una in the studio on this cold, cold day here at our world headquarters at 39th and Main of our media empire. And Fiona is running the machinations behind the media empire right behind the soundboard, somewhat distracted by an urgent missive came in from a diplomat, possibly an ambassador, William Sundahl, I think.
Yes, he's been promoted to full ambassador, and he said that we've got a note that says from Guden Jewelers, they donated, and they said that KOO, so I'm mangling it because of the handwriting, is my Saturday inspiration. So they donated to the station, and that was their message.
That's
so thank
wonderful.
You very much.
And who was that again?
That said, Guden Jewelers.
Okay. So. That is really incredible. These individual donations and the donations from our local businesses really help keep us on the air, because we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We rely on the kindness of strangers, as the line from Tennessee Williams goes.
But after they've donated, they're not strangers anymore, they're family.
I wouldn't say family, I might say treasured acquaintances, I don't know.
The more they donate, the more treasured they are?
That could very well be. And I have someone to introduce to everyone here in the studio that I treasure, and...
Is that our Champions Challenge person you're going to introduce?
Well, why don't... That was very well done. Why don't you do that? You think you're so bad? You do it. You announce the champion.
I'm so bad, I'm good. And all of our listeners are going to be when they donate during this hour, because the first $100 that we make during this hour from our donors will be doubled by the generosity of Mark Andrus. So if you phone in during this next hour, phone in and tell them you're donating for the 10th Voice, and Mark Andrus will double it up to the first $100.
That is really a fantastic gift from Mark to double it. So you can make your pledge really count. And as I've said many times before, you know, don't feel like you have to give a lot. A $5 donation means a lot to us, even if that's what you can do, because it means that you're out there and you care and you listen and you opened up a web browser and gone to kkfi.org to... donate, or you've been able to call us to donate on our pledge line at 888-931-0901.
Yes, and if you can only afford that $5, if you can afford that monthly, you can be a sustaining donor, and then we'll know that we've got the money coming in, that you're listening and thinking of us every single month.
That's like a donor with staying power.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that.
That's one really nice cup of coffee a month.
Yeah, possibly. So, speaking of nice things, we have a new host for the 10th Voice that we want to introduce to you all today. And they will be joining us each month. Oh, the Minister Without Portfolio has just come in with another missive. There we go. Let me talk a little bit about our new host for the 10th Voice. I'd like to welcome Ray Bowerman, pronouns they, them, who will be joining us every first Saturday. That is, you'll get to hear from them again just 3 weeks from now for their new program on the 10th Voice, Gray Matters. We'll hear all about what that means from Ray themselves. Ray is a psychotherapist in private practice in Overland Park at Genix Therapeutic Solutions, LLC. At this point, I have to make a disclaimer that although Ray is in practice as a licensed psychotherapist, this program and its content do not constitute any form of implicit or explicit professional counseling, therapy, advice, life coaching, and or treatment, nor any guarantee of service or obligation. And so any advice given by Ray is strictly in a non-professional setting and context. And they have a lot of advice that they can give. They both work with and are a member of the local LGBTQIA+ community, as well as the poly, kink, and many other communities that are often misunderstood, marginalized, and mistreated. Sort of like my sister Nightshade is a member of many vampire communities and so forth, but there's always a big friction between them and the werewolves.
Does holding up a religious icon at someone and throwing garlic at them count as mistreatment? Or is it only mistreatment if the garlic isn't attached to some nicely buttered bread and properly heated?
Well, we have to be careful about proselytizing on the show.
I will always proselytize for garlic bread.
Amen? Can I say amen to that?
Yes, you can. We'll have an amen, sibling.
You could say things like Jai Mahakali or so forth.
Garlic bread.
So, Ray, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
It's going to be really good having you on the show to talk to our listeners, tell us about your life, dish out some non-professional, unofficial advice, and take some call-ins. It would be sort of like the Fraser Crane of Kansas City. Kansas City, I'm listening.
That's right.
Wasn't that what Fraser used to say?
Something like that.
Yes, but Seattle.
In between yelling at Roz and Niles and everyone.
True.
I always kind of liked Niles. I had a mild crush on Niles.
Same. Especially when that actor... his
David
name...
David Hyde Pierce.
Yeah, it was in Hellboy.
Oh yeah.
Love that movie.
He was the aquatic...
Yes.
He was the best character.
I know, right? Yes. Well, Una and Fiona, it is so great to be here. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to join the 10th Voice.
Well, thank you, because we do this as a labor of love here, and we donate our time and our energy and so forth, and to make sure that we can get the word out and help people in the community. And I'd like to hear a little bit about what is your background, Ray? Where did you start out as, and what made you decide to, I use that four-letter word, help, but I meant...
you know what? Yeah, that's okay. And that sort of gives an opportunity to talk about that, because you and I, we go back a ways, and actually I've been at KKFI before as a musician, playing on air with, because I've been playing Irish music for almost two decades.
Who did you play with?
The very first band that I ever played with was Tullamore. And now the Irish band that I'm with is called Jump 2-3. And another band I was in was called Dog Tree. I play the Irish Fest.
Dog Tree?
Dog Tree, yeah.
Not Dog Treat.
Dog Treat. No.
Okay.
No, it was actually a play on one of my bandmates' last names, Victor Doherty. Hey,
oh,
Vic.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I've been at KKFI off and on for years, and so the idea of having, an opportunity to host a show, yeah, I'm all about it. So background-wise, how I got here... I was a sign language interpreter for 22 years, and I got into that basically because my two loves in life are music and language, in that order. They kind of tie for first place, So in college, I was a music major, and long story short, I took a sign language winter term one year and fell in love with sign language. And through some life events, found the Sign Language Interpreter Program at Johnson County Community College. At that time, it was a two-year associate's degree. So, moved to Johnson County, went to that program, graduated, and in 1998, started my career as a sign language interpreter. Did that for a very long time, and my emphasis was in medical and mental health as someone who made a living with words, the word is escaping me. Situations, let's call them. And doing that, just behavioral health, mental health, that's where I would work with therapists and psychologists. And
you opened up doors for an entire community that may have been reluctant to seek, may have been reluctant to seek counseling or therapy due to the barrier of the fact that many people do not know sign language.
Well, and that sort of speaks to the help word. As an interpreter, as someone who is looked at as an accessibility service, let's put it that way, doing that ADA dance all those years, help kind of is a four-letter word, because as a marginalized community, those who use sign language as their first language, and from a clinical perspective, are seen as disabled. If you look at deaf people from a cultural perspective, they will say, we are not disabled. This is our culture. This is our language. And that's a whole other discussion, which is better had by and taught by someone who identifies as culturally deaf. I do not. I am not. I don't have any deaf people in my family. I will say that. I came at it from an academic perspective, but over the years have gotten to love and respect many people who identify as culturally deaf. So ASL is not my first language. Deaf culture is not my culture. I can't claim it. It's not mine to claim. So I don't make that claim. So if you're interested in that, I would very much say find someone who identifies as culturally deaf. Ask them. It's the culturally respectful and responsive thing to do. As a side note, one of the things I'd like to do when I start my show is I want to live stream it on some sort of visual platform so that my deaf friends and anyone who's deaf or uses captioning can also watch the show.
That would be awesome.
And use their captioning to see me and use the captioning instead of it being purely on radio. So that's another subject for another time. But listeners, if you have anyone who fits that bill, let them know, because that's kind of one of my goals.
That would be fantastic. And hopefully it'll be a good widespread live streaming service, not like OnlyFans or...
No, I'm thinking YouTube. Yeah. I'm thinking I want to set up a YouTube channel and live stream while I do that. So in a nutshell, long story short, too late, in working a lot in mental health and behavioral health, I went through a bunch of life changes around 2016, 2017 and decided it was my time to go back to school, get a grad degree, and put the letters behind my name that would allow me to go into private practice and become a therapist. So now I find myself at my business. I'm the only one there. It's Gen X Therapeutic Solutions. It's in Overland Park. And the name Gen X, we can get into that later. It's sort of an amalgamation of a bunch of different things. One of them is I'm 45, going to be 46 here pretty soon. So it's kind of an homage to my generation.
Generation X.
Yeah, and being non-binary myself, trans non-binary, and those of us who are in our mid-40s and a little bit older who identify that way. It's not just the teens and the 20s, you know?
Yeah, I can speak to that.
Yeah.
But that X works nicely in there. I loved it when I found the word mix. I'd hated Ms when I first met it, but when I met mix, I was just... adored it. So yeah, I can see the X coming in there from there too.
Yes. It also... Oh, go ahead, Una.
I was going to say that another thing we adore are our sponsors, our underwriters, and our listeners out there that donate. And we do have to take a short station break.
Absolutely.
To hear from some of them. And then we will be right back with our new host on the 10th Voice, Ray Bowerman.
And as we head out to that break, I want to thank someone who donated for the show before ours. Janet from Overland Park, they discovered Siren Song as a KKFI community evaluator and fell in love with the show and donated to keep it on the air. And I really want to also thank someone donating for our show, Kate. Kate has donated and already met our Champions Challenge with one donation.
Wow.
Yeah. Right off the bat, Kate? Straight after the show started. I mean, that's the match of the Champions Challenge. They donated and covered it. So thank you,
Kate,
so much.
Go Kate. That's incredible. Thank you so much. Well, so we met the Champions Challenge, and now we have to raise the bar and see. There's still plenty of time.
If they donate, we get a bar.
What kind of bar? A chocolate bar?
Ooh, chocolate bar is good. Okay.
Look,
we better go to the...
Nothing should bar us from going to our station break for our sponsor. Thank you. And welcome back to the 10th Voice here, where we are with our new host, Ray Bowerman, who is going to be doing a monthly segment on the first Saturday of each month called Gray Matters. I think Fiona's sort of making hand motions and twitching over there. Are you having a mild issue, or do you need...
I'm having a mild headphone issue because my wonderful, loyal, reliable headphones that I've loved for ages, the left ear pad has just fallen off. So aww. I'm going to be slightly unbalanced for the rest of the thing, or trying to keep them on.
Well, I've often been called slightly unbalanced or so forth, which is...
Vertigo?
That's not a good joke to make when we're talking with a new host who is a psychotherapist by profession. So, Ray...
admitting it is the first step, Una.
I know, please. Somebody.
Admitting bad jokes. We're all guilty of that.
I'm a monster. Somebody stop me. You know, but gray matters. I know you thought quite a bit about what gray matters means, and I immediately thought of a giant floating brain, which was a little bit creepy and cool at the same time. But why don't you tell us what that means to you?
Absolutely. Well, other than the sideways homage to an amazing show, Breaking Bad, who, you know, any Breaking Bad fans out there, yes. I look at it as, well, you know, gray matters, the brain, so issues of mental health and psychological matters. Another layer of that is it's pointing to the fact that everything is gray. Nothing, really, when it comes down to it, is black and white. This or that, yes or no, you know, on or off, shall we say, binary, in not only the ones and zeros sense, but in the binary sense. We're tying that into the gender. Also saying, you know, there's no black and white solution. Also, you know, the idea that, back to the binary, you know, looking for the end goal, the finite. And that there's not really a use for a binary other than this sort of largely arbitrary endpoint, which is never really actually useful or achieved in those ways or in that sense that a lot of times we look for, we achieve, and we're thinking there's this end goal, I have to get there. It's the journey. It's the gray, the in-between, you know, the debates, the questions, and the uncertainties that lead us to find ourselves. They're important, and those little things, they matter. The gray matters.
And there is no real-life sorting hat that divides people into various transphobic houses. I mean, send up the next girl or boy. There is no other.
My gosh. See, I want to say something right now, but I'm new and I'm not sure I should say it on air, so I'm just going to, like, you know.
Text it later to us privately so we can laugh in private.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, and you're a member of many different communities throughout Kansas City that all experience I hate to overuse the word, but a spectrum of ways that they exist and live and love and interact within those communities.
Yes. Absolutely. I have a lot of different intersecting identities, let's put it that way. So, you know, being with the gender identity, I identify as trans non-binary, and in fact, I had top surgery in October, October 18th, and I'm feeling amazing. It went really well. Had surgery here locally with Dr. Carol Ann Aylward, and I mean, I'll probably talk about it on my show, so I'll save that for another time, but things are going great.
Out at Truman Medical?
Yes, yes. She is out of Truman Medical Center, which is now called, I think, University Health.
Ah.
Yeah, and I think that's a recent name change, so.
Yeah, that name change has slipped past me.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, we're familiar with them and their practice.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I would be surprised if you weren't. and I'm pansexual. That's something that I realized a long time ago. Sort of did that thing where, you know, a lot of us, you know, I don't know, let's just say for the sake of the discussion, the growing up, the different milestones of coming out that a lot of us queer people do, right? It's like, I'm this. Okay. Oh, no, wait, I found this label or this group or this term. No, that fits me more. And then you find another one. You're like, no, wait, that fits me better. And yeah, just the buffet, your buffet expands. I say this to my patients sometimes.
I think it might be like one of the reasons for the rainbow is that you end up with all the layers of paint from painting over with the new identities, and if you scratch down through, you end up with the rainbow through all of them as you come out and transition through all the letters.
Okay, listeners, you can't see my face, but my jaw almost hit the floor. Fiona, that is fantastic. I'm stealing it, and I will so give you credit. Like, that is amazing. I really like that. Say that again, please.
It's like layers of paint. Or even if you've got an old-fashioned house where you've got wallpaper, you end up with all the layers over the top of each other. And if you scratch down through them, you'll see all the different layers and the rainbow colours of their identity as they transition through and got to know themselves. And people change throughout their lives anyway. It's not just that you didn't know that you were that. Maybe at one point you actually were straight, or you were straight and a little bit bi, but then you moved to being a lot bi, and then you're like, no, actually, I'm just going to stick with girls now.
Well, and there's, you know, there's, wow, yes. My brain just went five different ways at once.
Mine does that. It's right. Terrible when you're on the air. You don't know which rabbit to chase down. You're like a hunting dog just standing there frozen going, which do I chase?
Oh, no. Dog, you don't chase any of them. You just let them go have a nice life. That's what you do. You come back and you have those treats we talked about earlier. That's what you do. Anyway, in fact, I can't remember who this is. Ugh, it escapes me. But someone recently, I read something, and this is going to be a segment I do on my show, Resource Reviews, where I talk about queer resource reviews. We review a movie, a book, an article, a podcast, things like that. Someone was talking about gender identity and sexual orientation. I think it was specific to gender identity, that it, over time, you know, it's almost like an equation, that factoring in time and experience and just life, it will change. It's not static. It's dynamic. And that it's okay. It's okay to flex. It's okay to move, to shift. That even cis people do this, you know, in different areas of their lives. And it's okay, you know. You don't have to stay in one particular place or one particular with identities or something. It's all right to say this is where I'm at now and not be tethered to the past in a sense that it doesn't let you move forward, you know.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And a lot of the time when people come out to their parents and they're young, they come out to their parents as trans, and so they have to pick pronouns and pick names, and if their family is supportive, their family is gung-ho behind them and may change their gender marker. And then later they may realize that actually they're non-binary, or they're a demi-guy or a demi-girl, because their family has been supported and had to learn and get on board, sometimes they feel that they have to stick and carry on presenting how they initially came out because they've already put their family through one change and upheaval. And I never want anyone to ever feel that they've had to paint themselves into a corner or that they're stuck. And I always want families to support people and say, whatever your gender identity is awesome and we'll always support it. And to mean that, not meaning saying, cool, if you ever decide actually you're cis, it's cool, just tell us and we'll go back. It not meaning feel fine saying actually it was a mistake, flip back, but meaning I'll support you whatever you find your gender identity is and whatever your gender journey is. We'll always support you as who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the common denominator there is that it's you. You are the one I love. You are you through all of this. And you get to make your transition yours, no matter when it is, no matter what it is. And that's something I talk to my patients about, is this may be the one thing in your life that you get to claim 100%, and you get to call all the shots on 100%. And yes, you're going to learn about, you know, setting boundaries and, you know, how this looks for you. And, you know, yes, as queer people, we go through these stages in our lives where we, you know, quite literally sometimes have to fight for our space to exist and to openly, to whatever degree, operate in those spaces with different degrees of safety and disclosure. And once we do that, then confronting ourselves even sometimes with a shifting or changing identity, saying, oh my God, I fought so hard to identify as such and such, and now, even though I'm feeling very deeply that I now identify as such and such, what do? Am I betraying myself? Am I really this thing? And now I'm going to have to rewrite who I am, and da-da-da-da-da. It's like, well, I mean, yes, that's where you're at, and you get to do that because it's yours, because you get to say that. People change, and it's okay. No one said you had to stay any one thing for any period of time.
Yeah. Yeah. Choosing gender labels and pronouns and things is really difficult because it's like, I'm me, and gender is ridiculous, and it's assigned by our culture, or at least our culture assigns values of what gender means, the expression of it.
Oh, boy.
And I can have huge long rants and discussions with people. I think that our, most of our conversations about gender are about the same level as the Middle Ages people discussing how many angels could dance on the head of a pin. That you don't even know whether angels exist or not, whether they even dance, before you even decide how many of them would fit on the head of a pin. And what dance are they doing anyway? I mean, some dances take more space than others.
Okay. I'd like to think they're doing the tarantella.
That would definitely be a somewhat spacious dance.
Sure.
I would like to ask you this question, though, Fiona, since you mentioned that. What is my gender ridiculous? Because I identify as binary, and so I think we need to be careful with a sweeping statement like that, because I am what I am, and that doesn't mean I have the slightest hint of disrespect towards any other gender identity expression or being, but I do sometimes get bothered when people say that it's ridiculous or it doesn't matter, because it matters to me.
I think the main thing is that when people say gender in our society, most of the time they just mean, how does my brain feel in alignment with my body? They're not talking about, actually, there is this specific box called gender, and you can open it up, and inside it, you find a particular set of equipment that says, okay, now I have to be a car mechanic and can't be anything else because I got this blue box and this is gender. And
it's sort of a devil's advocate question. So, yeah.
So it's almost like the bit about freedom of speech. Although I tend to think that gender is ridiculous and it's mostly assigned by our culture and our society and governs and is often used to discriminate people rather than enable them to be them, I will fight to the death to defend anyone's right to be and express the gender that they are, whether it's non-binary or binary femme or mask or whichever gender or blend of genders they are.
And I think for me anyway, the important concept behind that, behind any gender presentation or gender label or gender explanation, is the intent by which one presents it or explains it or sort of embraces it. If you're saying that it exists because it helps me understand myself, that's one thing. If one were to say it exists and then it then sets barriers to exclude or define or restrict others, that's problematic. So we can have, again, this buffet, and I can look at this buffet and say, I want to eat that, and put it on my plate, and I can look at this other stuff and go, hey, that looks good, but maybe I'm not going to eat that today. Okay, that's pretty, but I don't think texturally I would like that in my mouth, so I'm not going to eat it. But when someone else comes up and puts it on their plate, I'm not going to audibly go, dude, gross, you're eating that? Like, I'm just going to keep my comments to myself, right? But so I know
that's how much society says, ooh, the people that eat that, they're icky,
and then make a,
and they shouldn't earn as much money, or we shouldn't hire them for certain jobs.
Making a judgment about that person because they chose to eat it. So I don't know. I'm hoping that this metaphor is tracking.
Important.
Right.
I picked that out. Another thing that's important, too, is our ability to keep us on the air. We've had a couple really awesome pledges so far. Did we announce the latest one, Fiona?
No, we have.
Really?
I know I mentioned that we had a Janet from Overland Park earlier for the prior show, but we've also had a Janet donate for this show, and they donated. Yes. And I'm going to avoid all of the references that Janet brings up in my mind, because this Janet is totally and utterly awesome and has donated over $50 to support our show. And we just want to say thank you very much for helping keep us on the air. And anyone else that wants to donate, they can donate online at kkfi.org or call our pledge line, where our wonderful volunteers are standing by, all nicely COVID safe, on 888-931-0901. And thank you so much for donating. donating, and you are welcome to listen to all of the good stuff we bring.
And the website's sometimes a lot easier because it's, you know, if your boss comes by and catches you on some, you know, really, really hardcore, terrifying sites that where you just don't clear your browser history, you need to, like, reformat the hard drive because you will go to jail.
Yeah, like it's, marmots on Sea-Doos.
Okay.
That's
no
some
one
hardcore
that.
Stuff.
Yeah, you know, it's much better to be on the KKFI donation page, making a pledge of just even $5, making a pledge of whatever. Especially as I said, you know, I used to joke that no donation was too large, which sounds very sweeping. But after a while, I came to realize that no donation is too small either, because it shows that you're out there and you cared enough to, you know, minimize all your porn windows and open up KKFI. And
yes, if your boss comes by and finds you with your credit card out, tell them that you're donating to KKFI to support the 10th Voice rather than all those porn windows that you hastily hid. And make sure you follow through on that, because many companies will actually double up your donation if you give them the receipt. Check whether your company has a program like that.
They don't normally do that when you're on the other sites. No. Not normally, no. But
duly noted, I just learned a word that I can say on air.
Which word?
Porn sites? Or credit cards?
Hey, can I try one of the pledge things?
You can.
You can.
Okay. So, everyone listening, I'm going to try this now. If you want to call in and donate and support this and other programs. See, I'm already like being very measured. Call in at 888-931-0901 to the KKFI pledge line. And also you can go to kkfi.org.
Yeah, and there are wonderful pictures and information on all those wonderful thank you gifts that we have out there that have got KKFI branding on them, so you can provide a walking advertisement for us in the community and share your love of KKFI.
I always get a little bit of a smile when I see a KKFI bumper sticker on a car, and or I see somebody carrying one of our tote bags at a random location, and I'm like, wow, I guess, do you listen? And it always leads to an interesting conversation. Sometimes a dinner out, maybe a little date afterwards, who knows?
Or if you've both got the same tote bag, you bump them together and you go, Wonder Twin Powers Activate, form of community radio.
Now that's definitely Gen X.
The bad thing is I never even saw that show. Una, I picked it up just from cultural references since I moved up here.
I didn't either. Yeah, I didn't see it either. Gen X.
Okay, I'm probably going to have to Google and watch some online now, because Una is looking at me and I've lost my voice with shock and I cannot talk for the rest of the show expression on her face.
One thing that has not shocked me at all, though, because of the sort of person that they are, is that, Ray, you have a wide variety of friends, not just in different communities, but geographically, and you're hoping to have some of them on who have really relevant experiences and that they would like to share or that you'd like to talk with them about. And I think you mentioned that as some ideas.
Absolutely. I am going to be calling in some favors.
I'm really doing some good segues today.
You really are. I wrote down as you went to that little pitch for the pledge drive. You guys can't see it, but I wrote down on my notebook here, I'm like, queen of the segue.
And she's never even ridden one. We kept meaning to take the little tour at the at the zoo, or when all of the restaurants were open and they were doing things like that. There's one on the plaza and they take you around and give you lots and lots of food. That seemed like a good thing for not doing much walking. But
coincidentally,
we never got around to it.
I just watched that Weird Al video that's done to the tune of Riding Dirty. White and Nerdy. They see me rolling on my Segway.
I have to say, that is easily one of my favorite Weird Al videos, and it's because of Donny Osmond.
Oh, yeah.
If y'all haven't seen it, go
he's doing
see it.
Awesome dance in the background while they've got Maxwell's equations of electromagnetism in the back, which I actually recognized thanks to being a broken down, sway backed old engineer. But I also love the Pentiums, because there's so much energy and it's all about the Pentiums. It's so serious and done so straight.
It is. He's a genius.
I've got a friend, Annie, that's her favorite video ever, and she'll sometimes say, what kind of chip you got in there, a Dorito?
Okay, Doritos are delicious, yo.
Well, yes, they are, but they're not so good inside computers.
No. Whether they've been deliberately installed or you've got a five-year-old who thought they were helping by putting extra chips in to make your computer go faster.
Okay, real quick. Favorite Dorito flavor? Go.
Oh, the extra hot lime ones that they came out with recently.
I would just say the extra, the nacho cheese, but the extra spicy.
Okay, I'm going to have to go old school nacho cheese. Close second, Cool Ranch.
This was not an endorsement for any specific snack food of any kind, though.
No.
We're not controlled by the overarching Dorito Corporation of the Illuminati.
My fingers aren't dark bright red from eating too many Doritos in the studio and getting eaten on the equipment.
Right. Even though we're on the Missouri side, we're also not chemically enhanced currently. At least not with the munchies.
Oh yeah, that stuff.
I am caffeinated, though. I do have coffee.
It is a very big change to just walk down any street at night, and it smells like you're in
Colorado
on campus or Jamaica.
What? No,
I've been to Amsterdam.
Oh no,
they have wonderful coffee shops.
Do you know
that you don't go to for the coffee?
I have so many friends that have been to Amsterdam, and I can't wait to go finally.
I can't wait to hear some of your new ideas, though, about the
Queen of the Segway.
I know, because I asked you and then I interrupted you and took us off on this wild ride.
We got talking about
a Segway ride.
Yeah. No, I was thinking about, you know, what can I do on the show, because I've been given this opportunity. And as a friend of mine once said, you know, it's like, just do what makes you happy. So I'm thinking, okay, what does my geeky little brain want to do? What do I want to talk about? So there is a therapist that I follow on Instagram, and every once in a while she'll start a post with this, and I've also seen a lot of other people say this. So I figured, why not do a segment called this? So I'll do a segment called, I don't know who needs to hear this, but... So we'll be doing one of those.
Yes. I have a meme that says, like, I don't know who needs to hear this, but your tea is getting cold. And every year when that pops up on my timeline, I reshare it, and there's always someone that says, thank you.
I like the helpful...
What?
I said helpful. That's just
Oh, no, that's okay. It's
the assistive, ominous nature of, I don't know who needs to know this.
What, my tone?
It's sort of like, I wouldn't do that if I was you.
Okay, you were told wrong, honey.
Yes. Folks, do not go in electricity sockets in the wall. I don't know who needs to hear this, but someone somewhere probably does.
Right, exactly. Another one, because of my undying love for learning new words, I may or may not call it this, but I want to call it the sesquipedalian mammalian. Oh yes, you heard me correctly. Please, I hope some listeners out there laughed at that. At least tell me a couple of y'all did, please.
Well, we're listening and I laughed.
When we finish up your show page, we'll need to spell that out.
Yes, exactly. I want to do a song spotlight, because as a musician and just a rabid music lover, I'm thinking, okay, they're just... Y'all know how it's like, you're going along and someone introduces you to a new song, and as soon as you listen to it the first time, you think, how did I ever live without this song in my life?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So,
like,
going to have a music spotlight.
Like Chaise Long by Wet Leg.
Or anything by the Double Clicks.
I don't even know where to start with that title.
Oh, well.
Or that band name?
I'll say in the video, do you know College Core as a music? Mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm. It's hard College Core, the band. I think there's a live performance. They kept the members of Wet Leg. They can't even keep a straight face as they're doing the call and response on it. They're both laughing while they're on stage playing live. Wow. I'll send you a link.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they had fun. And I just totally love the Double Clicks. I cannot express how much I love the Double Clicks.
I interviewed them and
introduced me to them.
We were on Zoom and I was doing all fangirl about them. And
We were at AWA and Una took the time out for the interview, and I had to keep videos and things running at the anime convention, so I missed it.
And they said they want to come back.
And we have to have them back.
They're sweet.
I would love if they could. They're
a queer group.
They have a... God, my brain. They have a musical that they talked
Teaching
about
a robot
at
how to
the
love.
Interview with Una. Uh-huh. And the video, the the whole thing is all the trans feels, and it's like modern day Frankenstein gender flipped. Also with the Amazon Jeff Bezos with the serial numbers filed off in it, and it is just totally awesome in all the feels. And I would love it if we could get permission from them, because there is like one read through of it because of the whole COVID thing.
Okay,
done
we need
for
to
a radio thing.
Let's ask.
And if we could maybe split it across a couple of shows and air it on KKFI, it would be awesome.
Well, let's let Ray continue.
Yes,
here,
yes, with their awesomeness.
So another one I want to do is Mindfulness Matters, because as a practicing Buddhist of many years and also using mindfulness techniques in my practice at work with my patients, mindfulness informs a lot of what I do personally and professionally. I also want to do a segment called Queer AF, because can't say the F on the air, but we're going to talk about Queer AF because of who I am and what I believe in, and it needs to be shouted loud and proud, babies. Okay, so don't know what that segment's going to include, but whatever it is, it's going to be Queer AF.
F obviously stands for fabulous. Or phantasmagoria.
Correct. All right. Also going to do a segment called Sex Terminology, the real usage. And I'm going to bring in things like, which is also going to tie into another segment called Resource Reviews. There are books that I've been reading and listening to recently. One of them is The Curious History of Sex. One is Come As You Are. Another one is Hurts So Good. And these are informed by clinical sexologists, researchers, anecdotal. It spans the spectrum. And so one of the things I'd like to do is look at clinical terms regarding sex and sexuality. Talk about the history of them. Talk about the stigma. Talk about how they were used, why they were used, how they are still used, incorrectly, correctly, blah, 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 all that kind of thing, the gendered nature of them, and just, you know, just the ins and outs of that, pun sort of intended and not intended, but the all of the all, and just have a segment about terminology and how we can talk about this stuff.
That sounds awesome. I taught high school biology for 11 to 18-year-olds, and we had to cover human reproduction about three times inside that. And so I got to use all of the correct anatomical, accurate terminology in front of teenagers. So, I can use words like that without blushing.
Reminds me of a Beavis and Butthead episode that I'll have to...
What are you talking about, Una? Nachos.
They put them in a sex ed class and said if they laughed once at any term, they would be expelled forever. And I see. Oh, you just stuck. What? Oh, that was just, that was your index finger. That means we had 1 minute.
That means 1 minute till our next break for our wonderful sponsors.
And you had one other thing you said would be a special personal shout out that you would do.
Yes. And I want to end every show with a segment called "I Love You and I Miss You."
Aww.
And this is something that y'all are going to come on a journey with me. I'm going to talk to you, and I'm also going to be talking to someone that probably most of you will never meet, and I will never introduce you to, but I'm going to be talking to that person every month, and I'm going to end my show that way, and it's just going to be really raw, really heartfelt, and it's going to be a nice way to bookend the show. I'm just going to leave it there. So I am really looking forward to this, guys. Can't wait for you to come with me.
That's a fantastic ensemble of ideas, and we're going to bookend the ideas and your talk about what you want to do with another station break here.
And you're back with the 10th Voice on KKFI. And before we get back to all the wonderful, awesome things we're going to do with Ray's upcoming show, we're going to talk about all the wonderful, awesome things that our supporters in the community can do for us. And the most wonderful, awesome thing would be to donate.
Absolutely. You know, the reason that we are on the air is that we are here to provide advice, we're here to provide guidance, resources, we are here to provide entertainment, we're here to provide anything that you need by the community, as members of the community. We don't get paid to be here. In fact, we all donate as well to keep this the station and the programs going as a labor of love. And
during the show, someone called Alan donated to support Diana Griffin Ennis. So they donated during our time slot to support Diana and said to keep up the great show.
That's fantastic.
Everyone listening out there that supports us, we want to thank all of you.
Absolutely. And once again, we are talking with the newest host of the 10th Voices. You know, the 10th Voice is an ensemble show in which each week we have a different subject that is hosted by a different person or persons because of the incredibly broad, diverse, multidimensional, and really awesome nature of our community. So we need a variety of voices on the 10th Voice. And the original word, the original phrase, the 10th Voice, came from the original Kinsey study, which estimated that 1 in 10 Americans were lesbian or gay. They didn't really talk too much about those, you know, pesky trans or non-binary people then back in the 50s.
So pesky.
Yeah. Nowadays, we find out that the number was actually closer to 2 or 3% at the time, but it is growing steadily. Nowadays, in the general population, April 2021 Gallup poll said it was about 7%, but what's most interesting is among millennials and Gen Z persons, it's almost 1 in 6 to 1 in 5. And one subject that comes up often, Ray, is intersectionality between some of the different communities, and people wonder why. Like, why is there so much intersectionality between the LGBTQIA plus and the kink community or the poly community? And I have one theory about the intersection between that LGBTQIA plus umbrella and the kink community, and that is that those spaces are the safest spaces that I've been to. They are places where respect is honored and paramount, and so people feel safer going there. And because they know that respect is a foundational principle and that carries over. Well, but what are your thoughts?
I think that has some feet. Yeah. And with, safe, sane, and consensual play being foundational and, you know, required, just fundamental, one would think, one would hope that that just being expected would provide sort of a respite, as you're saying, sort of a safe space, an expected safe space, so that things that one may have to worry about or just, you know, always be on the lookout for, you know, how we're, as queer people, we're kind of always dialed up a bit. You know, we're always kind of looking around, looking in reflective surfaces, da-da-da-da-da, all those things. It's like you walk into those spaces, those kink spaces, and just can kind of, you know, just let down or let loose and not hopefully, again, I emphasize, worry about those things. I think that has some merit to it. A friend of mine and I, who do a monthly show online, she is one of my best friends from grad school. She is also a licensed psychotherapist. She lives in Washington State. She is also a member of the kink community up there. We host a monthly show, and we talk about the intersectionality of healthy, mentally healthy kink in a vanilla world. We talked about sort of this issue and why that might be the case. While there haven't been, as probably comes as no surprise to you, you know, not really studies on this to sort of quantify this, like the intersectionality, and so, this percentage is, you know, and this is why. But the factors that may contribute to this, like you're saying and we're saying, just the space that's created there, that's over time has been cultivated and that we know is expected of us, that we take part in creating because of how we know these things go.
It's incredible what a totally accepting, safe space can let people do and let loose. And this is the thing that's going to, I know everyone's sitting out there on the edge of their seat, and Fiona's about, has her finger poised over the 7-second delete button, but at a local dungeon that I visit, people have a regular Dungeons and Dragons night because they feel that they can safely just go there and play. I've seen people bring their work laptops and sit and just have some drinks and work because it's a quiet, comfortable place where no one's going to bother them. And if people catch a nap, they can fall asleep on a couch somewhere and know that no one's going to touch them, no one's going to take their stuff. And people are always going to, not only that, but it's not just that, but people watch out for each other. They keep a weather eye on each other.
Oh, boy, don't we.
And it's a very, very affirmingly awesome community.
Yeah. And the people who need to learn or need to know, shall we say, let's just put it that way, they learn quickly. They're told. You know, there are monitors in place. There are staff. There are, there's protocol. There are measures. There are rules.
And they're enforced instead of just in the absence or the exception. They actually are paid attention to.
Absolutely. And that's something else that, my friend and I spoke about on our show is, we talked about kink shaming and basically to say in a vanilla sense the explanation is, you know, you're not insert a descriptor enough, or your kink is something not enough or too whatever, you know. And rather than looking at it as, well, you know, that's yours, that's what you like, or maybe you don't know about something and you'd like to learn, maybe you're new, just like anything in the vanilla world, you know, you get a new job, you get a new partner, you move to a new city, you don't know, where do you go to find out these things, who do you talk to? So there's a lot of crossover,
and you can be led down the wrong path very easily too.
Absolutely.
Asking the wrong people,
and people often start to police the community and try and get rid of any crossover, especially to appear normal to outsiders, because so many people in the LGBTQ community are desperate for acceptance because of legal matters. It could, people are concerned that if they present a non-vanilla, normal, apart from being LGBTQ appearance to people, that that will harm any chance that they have of having legal protections. And then they start to exclude the leather and the kink community from FIDE, and that's just wrong.
I am really glad you brought that up, Fiona. One of the guests that I'm going to have on my show is one of my very best and closest friends. His name is Zach, and he is actually a consent educator and lecturer. And he does a thorough presentation and education workshop on kink consent in the law. The guy reads case law for fun. I had the honor and privilege, wasn't planned, but actually interpreting one of his workshops out in Colorado, and it was thorough. He goes into precedent in case law and talks about, you know, how are we protected? How are we? How does this work with the law? And so it's fascinating. So he's going to be a guest on my show at some point. He and I have worked together. He's also an LMSW. He lives in Texas. Hopefully he's doing his PhD in St. Louis sometime soon, and he'll be closer to me instead of in Texas. So he and my friend in Washington, the three of us, we are, we're like the three musketeers, let's put it that way. We're family. We're absolute family. So you'll see them on the show.
And now you've become part of our 10th Voice family here. And
absolutely.
We're really happy to have you on. And for those of you listening, Ray will be hosting Gray Matters on every first Saturday, starting here in just 3 weeks from now, here on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Fiona, you look like you're itching to say something.
Oh, I was just wondering if you're giving the full idea at the moment to remind people who they should be donating to support the station.
Absolutely. If you've been entertained by some of our talk, which has ranged everywhere from Weird Al and Doritos to respect between the intersectional kink and LGBTQIA plus communities, and there might be some interesting intersections between Weird Al and Doritos. Anyways, you can, of course, go to the web on kkfi.org, and there is a donate button on there. We should have donate buttons everywhere on the page, you know, just because you can never find one when you need one. And every little bit really helps to keep entertaining and insightful and informative shows like this on the air. Or you can call us on your phone at 888-931-0901.
Or somebody else's phone. We're not going to be prescriptive on that.
True. Just walk up to a random stranger, say, I need your phone. I've got to make a pledge to KKFI. And they'll be like, do I know you?
Much more important and cooler than in The Matrix going, I need an exit. I need to donate to KKFI.
That was actually a cool scene. You look like you're wired up for something over there, Fiona.
Well, I was going to play a little last song, as we were getting ready to go over to the next show, but if you would rather keep going for another 3 minutes, squeeze out, ache out the very last drops of the show with Ray. Your choice.
I just want to say a quick thank you to both Una and Fiona for having me on today. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. I cannot wait for the first episode of Gray Matters on the first Saturday next month. Thank you guys. Thank you, KKFI. And I just can't wait to hang out with y'all next month and see where the ship takes us. And
I can't wait either.
And I'm looking forward to your reviews, because we've been doing film reviews on Trans Talk, but not books or audiobooks or anything else like that. So
that last
that
word
be
was
cool.
Ship with a P. So.
Yes, ship.
Yes, like relationship. Like the relationship that our wonderful recurring donors have with KKFI.
Ooh,
absolutely.
Another queen of the segue.
That's
yes,
pretty good.
It's a two-person segue.
Hey.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, but you have to watch your balance.
Don't we
so
always?
So, Fiona, do we have any last announcements, or were you going to play us out a little music? You decide. You're in charge.
I'm in charge, but I want to be considerate of our guest/host on their first day.
Oh, it's all right. I'm good. I feel sassified. I am sassified.
I thought you were going to say your word section was going to be called Logomania. Mad about words.
Onomatopoeia, where you'd sound out, you know, the words and say, this is why, you know, meow is spelled this way. And
but it's different in different cultures. And there are different sounds, even things like the peeping of little chicks.
Yes.
In Greece, they go tsu-tsu instead of cheep-cheep. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole song that was done on Flanders and Swan, which is how come I got to know that there were all the different sounds in the different languages. And they were so educated and knowledgeable. They did songs frequently in other languages and still made them amusing.
You just reminded me of a book that I bought when I was in Scotland that is written in Scottish. Oh my gosh, I need to bring it in and just try and read it on the radio so all y'all can just laugh with me.
Awesome.
It'll just be fun.
I am looking forward to that next month,